Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Welcome, friends, to a brand new week of bringing clarity to the chaos. Today, we kick off a week unveiling biblical mysteries with author and speaker Carl Gallups. And later this week, the latest headlines from the end times will be revealed. Friends, SWRC, that Southwest Radio Church, needs your prayers and financial partnership right now. The need is urgent. Your support is critical to sustaining Southwest Radio Ministries through some of the lowest months we've experienced in years. We've trimmed our budget, reduced expenses, delayed our monthly mailings, and cut radio stations. Any further cuts they'll significantly reduce the ministry that Southwest Radio carries out every day. That's why we're coming to you right now. You've partnered with us in prayer and ministry in the past, and we need our faithful friends to stand with us right now. Please, give today. Call 1-800-652-1144 with your gift, or visit swrc.com and give. We need to hear from you today. 1-800-652-1144 or swrc.com. Back in June, we held our Mysteries of the Bible Verse Conference with an outstanding lineup of speakers covering the topics your Sunday school teacher didn't talk about. Today, we have the privilege to listening to Carl Gallup's presentation on the image of Golgotha. From the Mysteries of the Bible Verse, here is Carl Gallup's.
If you don't mind, I'm going to open with a word of prayer, of praise, that's all, in Hebrew, and I will translate each line. Just enjoy listening to the words. If you don't understand them, don't worry. They're real words. It's real language that King David spoke, that Moses spoke, that Jesus and the disciples spoke when they were together. So let us pray. Yeshua HaMashiach Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Gadol Shemka. Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God, King of the universe, great is your name. Shemi Yefafe Adonai, and how beautiful is that name, O Lord. Ata Borei HaShamayim Ve'et HaAretz, and you alone are the creator of the heavens and the earth. Shi HaKol Niya Bidvardo, and you are the one that speaks and brings everything to life. Atakan Nipsakan Veike Berno Toda Rabba. And you are here, the creator of the universe. You are here among us. You're moving amongst us. And we thank you. We don't have the words to thank you. Atapoel Kebe. And you are working in our midst. Nogea Bekolev, and you're touching every heart that's open to you. Merve Nefsheno Adonai, and you are healing every spirit that's open to you right now. Todarava, thank you so very, very much, O Lord. Ata Yahweh Elyon Melech Al Kol Haratz. And you are the Lord God Most High, King of all the earth. Beshem Yeshua HaMashiach Adonai Batahenu. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray and we trust only you. And God's people agreed and said, amen, amen, amen. Thank you for letting me do that. Okay, let's go to Psalm 22 and Isaiah 52. I want to show you some cool stuff. Now, this is all going to relate to some other things I'm going to show you here. So even though I'll show you some cool stuff right up front, some of you may already know the things I'm going to share and some of you may not, but then we're going to go deeper when we get here and you will see. So trust me. So Psalm 22 is an amazing psalm. It's what's called a compound prophecy. or a compound passage of Scripture. There are several compound passages of Scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, having to do with prophecy. That is, it'll start off with the speaker acting or saying like some things have happened to him, and then you begin to read and you realize, and you know the history of that person, and you say, nothing like that happened to him. What's he talking about? Then you go deeper and you realize, oh my goodness, he's talking about Yeshua HaMashiach, who is to come. In David's case, it would be 1,000 years into his future. How could he know this? How could he see these things? How could he? That's unbelievable. It's almost like God took him and put him in a portal and set him right at the foot of the cross. And then he writes about it. But it starts off talking about him. He's running from Absalom, but then he goes and he says things that never happened to him. But they all happened to Yeshua at Golgotha. That's a compound prophecy. It's powerful. You talked about Bashan, the bulls of Bashan. It's in Psalm 22. And basically, when he says that, see, we miss it in most of our churches and preaching and teaching, but now you'll know, and thanks to Derek and Mac, Pastor Mac, I mean, Brother Mac, Sunday school teacher. But they explained the absolute biblical truth about Bashan and Mount Hermon. But when you speak of the bulls, it's the Baals, if you will. It's demons, okay? And it's a Hebrew way, a euphemism, if you will, of speaking of the unseen realm and the demonic realm. Part of that is in Psalm 22. So I'm going to skip around just because I could preach for 2 hours just on Psalm 22. Can you tell that? Anyway, just I want to show you some things because I want to move to Isaiah 52 and then get to this and bring it all together. Okay, so it starts with these words, the only scripture that Jesus quoted from the cross very soon before he drew his last breath. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? So far from the words of my groaning. Okay, people, they say, why did Jesus say that? I've heard and you've heard, and I'm not disparaging anybody. I'm not thinking of anybody. Just all my life, I heard preachers say, well, see, God turned his back on his son because he had so much sin he couldn't even look at him. And Jesus said, why have you forsaken me? It's almost like Jesus is either mad at God or confused or like, what am I doing here? Why'd you turn your back? Why, you're not paying attention to me? Well, that's not it at all. In fact, this psalm answers that. This psalm answers that. But listen, so watch. He starts off with that. Now, let's just skip down and come on down. Come down to look at verse 12. Well, look at verse 6, and then we'll go 12. Look at verse 6. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults. They're shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let God rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. First of all, those are the exact words spoken by those that were circling Jesus' cross that day, recorded in the Gospels. He saved others. Let him save himself. Look, he's despised by everybody. See how quickly the world turned on him? All right, but it gets better or worse. Look at verse 12. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions tearing their prey open their mouths wide against me. And Satan prowls around like a roaring lion, looking to see whom he can devour. The bulls of Bashan are encircling him. The demonic realm is encircling him. I'm convinced that from the cross, Jesus could see it. He could see right through those dimensions. Just like that day when he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. I don't think he meant that about Peter personally. He meant Satan's using you, but I think he saw Satan. I think he looked through the realms and Satan started playing Peter like a puppet. And Satan said, stop, get behind me. And Peter looked and said, who's he looking at? I think the same thing here. The demonic surround me. I'm not used to being this tied in, guys. I'm sorry. I'm hitting everything. Speaking of a bull in a china shop, that would be me. Okay? Right, many bulls around me. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. That's what a crucifixion does to you. My heart has turned to wax. It's melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. I thirst. Are you hearing it? And in case you're not, you lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. First of all, he's already seen the demons. Now he sees the evil men, a lot of them in black robes, religious elite. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all of my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them. They cast lots for my clothing. How could David have seen that or known that? All of this. Guys, I'm just telling you, I believe in my heart, he was there, either in a vision or God's time machine going through a time warp. I mean, God can do that. Going through a dimension, something. He saw the nitty-gritty details. And if you think that's good, man, Isaiah 52, Isaiah 53 talks about his back with stripes and we're healed, and talks about the piercing, talks about the punishment that's laid upon him brings us peace, talks about he's basically, it says we can interpret it to mean this, it says it, that between criminals he is killed, but he's buried in a rich man's tomb. And at the end of Isaiah 53 says, but even though he dies, even though his soul suffers and is gone, yet he will see the light of life. And generation after generation, it's the resurrection. It's all these details and more in something you're going to see in Isaiah 52. These guys had the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They were getting downloads from heaven and maybe even seeing things in visions, dreams, or maybe going through some kind of time portal. But I get chill bumps. David wrote that 1,000 years before Golgotha, guys. Isaiah wrote that 700 years before Golgotha. The United States hadn't even been a nation for 300 years, so do the math. How impossible is that? Now, I told you, I want you to go back to Psalm 22 again, because I told you, I've heard people say, well, God turned his back on him, he ignored him, and, you know, and he couldn't look upon him. He forsook him. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus talking to God. No, no. I'll tell you what he was doing and why he said that. But look at verse 24. For God has not despised or disdained the suffering of his afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but he has listened to his cry for help. God didn't turn his back. He didn't hide his face. Jesus is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Atah Seha Elohim, you are the Lamb of God. Atah Areye Yehuda, and you are the Lion of Judah. This was all done at heaven's throne. Peter writes about it. He said even the prophets that wrote this stuff didn't know exactly the time or the place or exactly what they were talking about. They just knew what God told them to write, and they knew it was for us. He said even the angels of heaven longed to look into it, but they weren't allowed until the time came for them to see it. Wow. Remember all of this, but remember that first verse. Why did Jesus quote that then? It's the rabbinic way, the ancient rabbinic way. Do you remember in the gospel when Jesus gets up, he's up in Nazareth in his home synagogue, and he says he calls for the book, the scroll of Isaiah, where it says, today, you have seen this fulfilled in your sight. He says that. He's here to open the eyes of the blind, et cetera, to set the captives free. Today, this has been fulfilled in your sight. Now, he didn't say, now turn to Isaiah, chapter so-and-so, verse so-and-so. They didn't have chapters and verses till, I don't know, in the 1400s, I think, 1500s AD. No, the rabbis knew this as they studied the scrolls all the time. And when you ask for one and you wanted to go to a certain place, you ask for it by the first line. You know what Jesus is doing in Psalm 22? He's saying, go read Psalm 22. You know what the Gospels say? Two of them mention this, I think, maybe three. Two of them I know. And then the Roman centurion that was in charge of all this, when he cried that out, he says, seeing how he was dying, and hearing what was being said, he bowed his knees and said, "Surely this is the Son of God." That's what Jesus was doing. He's going to say, look at Psalm 22. Remember that. Please remember that first line. That was no accident. All right, look at Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52 sets up Isaiah 53, 700 years prophecy before, the two thieves, the rich man's tomb, the resurrection, the stripes on the back, the piercing of his hands and feet, the piercing that brings us peace, on and on. That's Isaiah 53. We're pretty familiar with it. Isaiah 52, I could preach for an hour on it. I don't, but I want you to look at one verse. Isaiah 52, 10. The Lord, that word Lord, capital L-O-R-D, capital, that means Yahweh. Yahweh will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Listen to me. That's a beautiful passage of scripture. Here's the deal. First of all, the word salvation in Hebrew is Yeshua. The whole world will see the Yeshua of our God. But wait, you want to hear something even better? And I'm going to show you. You're going to see a lot of the stuff I'm telling you, you're going to see in the language. You're going to see it in the letters. I'll show it to you. Yeshua. That's how we say it in English, and that would be the transliteration from the Hebrew. Their letters look nothing like ours. But we know that the letters in Hebrew that make up his name are Yud, Shin, Wa, Ayin. Actually, they write from right to left, so, you know. But Yud, Shin, or Yod, Shin, Wa, Ayin. Yod means the hands or the outstretched arms. Shin means... when I say means, listen, there are ideograms to each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And I'm going to show you this. I mean, Haaretz, Israel's main newspaper, in 2013 had a whole article on it talking about the amazing language of the Hebrew language and alphabet. And I've got it in my books. I've got it referenced. I've got it here. So I'm not making this up, okay? Each letter has a meaning. In English, we do that with some of our letters. Like when we're texting, the age of texting, if somebody says something to us and we agree, we go K. Right? Put one letter in there, K, which means okay, or I gotcha, or it can mean whatever. K, depends on how you press it, K. Am I right? We have other letters, like a V for victory, a V for verses, I mean, on and on. But we don't have every letter lined out with a meaning by it like that. The next generation will probably have that for texting, but we don't yet. But the Hebrew language has had it since the beginning of the Hebrew language. And that's what that article in Haaretz from 2013 writes about. They just say it's true. And the only reason I'm making a big deal, you get on the internet, you can find anything you want on the internet. And you know, they can't put it on the internet if it's not true. You find any ism or schism you want on the internet, and somebody's an expert in it. That's why I just stick to the Word of God right there and what it clearly says. But anyway, so... So the bottom line is, each letter has an ideographic meaning, an idea that goes with a letter, or a picture that goes with a letter. Yud means the hands or the outstretched arms. Shin means the Almighty God. That's on every mezuzah. It looks like a W in the English, but it's not. It's a letter next to the last letter, I do believe, of the Hebrew alphabet. But it means the Almighty God. It's always meant that as the word. If you had texting back in the ancient day, they just put a sheen, and that meant you were saying Almighty God. All right? So Yud Shin, the hand or the outstretched arms of the Almighty God. Wa means the nails, the spikes. Or it can mean a spear. It can mean a hook. It can mean anything that fastens one thing to another. Yud, Shin, Wa'ain, the arms, the hands of the Almighty God with nails and a spear. Ayin means to see. And in context, it is used in the ideographic language of to see the salvation of God. What did I just read to you from Isaiah 52:10? That very sentence. Behold, the outstretched arms of the Almighty God. All the nations will see the salvation that comes in Jesus Christ, or in his salvation that comes to the world. That's what it says. That's Jesus' name. That's the meaning of his name. Letter by letter by letter, it spells out Isaiah 52:10. I promise you, Isaiah, unless God put it in him and he saw everything, I mean, he saw Isaiah 53, so maybe he knew all of this, but most Hebrew prophets and scribes would not write of their Messiah coming, going to a cross and all that. I mean, by the time he did it, the whole religious elite turned against him. You're going to see things here that's encoded in God's word. You're going to say, that's impossible for that to be there. No ancient Hebrew would have put that there. Oh, but God did. You'll see it. Remember Psalm 22. Remember Isaiah 52:10. Okay? I think I have to turn the pages, don't I? Yeah. Okay. All right, very quick. Now listen, I want you to know, this is going to look like a seminary class. You're going to think, he's trying to teach us Hebrew and we got to know all this. No, you don't. I just want you to know by the time we get to the really good stuff, you'll know that I know what I'm talking about. And you will have seen things that you that will match up to that, and you will know that it's true. All right, so just hang in here with me. But the, oops, I'm sorry, go back. The proto-Sinaitic script, that was the originator of all alphabets, Semitic languages, about 2000 BC is what the experts say. But the Paleo-Hebrew came right behind it, maybe 1,000 years later or more. And there are some people that say the Paleo-Hebrew came before that. Yeah, that's, but it doesn't matter. The bottom line is, this is the script that the Word of God was written in. Okay?
Carl Gallops will continue his presentation on the image of Golgotha on our next program. This presentation was originally given at this year's Mysteries of the Bible Verse Conference. All of the presentations from the two-day event are now available on a special 6-DVD set. Topics as varied as UFOs, aliens, hidden messages, giants in Scripture, demonic oppression, dinosaurs, and secret societies. The topics are sensational, but grounded in Scripture. Prepare to have your mind blown and your faith encouraged. Order the 2025 Mysteries of the Bible Verse DVD set today. Call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or you can order on our website, swrc.com. The Mysteries of the Bible Verse 6-disc set features presentations by the full lineup of speakers, including Derek and Sharon Gilbert, Micah Van Hus, Carl Gallops, Michael Hoggard, and Mac Dominic. Order today, 1-800-652-1144. We are only 4 days away from our Prophecy in the News Live conference in New Prague, Minnesota. With an update on the conference, here is Josh Davis.
Prophecy in the News Live is coming to New Prague, Minnesota this weekend. Dear friends, we would love to see you there. I know we've got several friends who are going to be back with us. We were there last year. We're looking forward to renewing our fellowship with them, and we invite you, dear friends, to join us. One of the great things about this particular event is that it is free to attend. But we need to know that you're coming so that we can bring enough resources and materials with us, including a lot of giveaways that we have available for everyone who will be there. We want to make sure that we have enough, so please let us know if you're coming this weekend to New Prague, Minnesota, Prophecy in the News Live. And just because it's free doesn't mean it's not going to be quality. It is going to be quality of the first rate. And I don't say that because I'm involved and not in a sense of pride in any way, shape, or form, but because I know the caliber of the other speakers and the kinds of content they'll be delivering and just the wonderful atmosphere, the wonderful fellowship around God's Word. This weekend is going to be a special, special weekend in New Prague, Minnesota, and we want you to join us there. We've heard of friends who are driving in from out of state, and that's wonderful. And we look forward to seeing each of you there. You can register online at swrc.com. Again, that's swrc.com. Click on events. Click on this particular event. It'll show you all the details, who's speaking, what they're speaking about, the location, the days, the times, all those kinds of things. Plus, you can register. Yes, registration is free. It does help us so much to know that you're planning to come. So register right there on the website. Or you can give us a call and register over the phone. Our toll-free number is 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You're going to be hearing from some wonderful speakers like William Federer. He's got some powerful topics, information that we need to equip ourselves with as we learn how to take a bold stand in the days that we live in, and that we can open our eyes to some of the threats, some of the onslaught of the enemies of our souls. It's happening all day Friday, all day Saturday, August 15th, August 16th, Hillspring Church, New Prague, Minnesota. Doors will open at 8 a.m. The first session will begin about 8:45, and will go to about 5:30 in the afternoon. Several breaks in between there, and we would love to see you there. Again, registration is free, but we need to know that you're coming. So please give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or register on the events page at swrc.com. Again, that's the events page at swrc.com. We look forward to seeing you this weekend in New Prague, Minnesota.
When you join hands with Southwest Radio Ministries, you are ministering to thousands by providing accurate Bible teaching and gospel resources. Our staff knows that God has called us to this ministry. We believe God is about to do something big through Southwest Radio. The signs of His providential works are all around us. We're walking by faith through our current financial battle. We realize that there's a spiritual component to the battle. The spiritual forces of evil, they hate what we're doing. They hate that we took a major step of faith in bringing back Prophecy in the News television show this summer. They hate that the staff gives every drop of energy that they have to promote God's truth. They hate that this ministry is creating more content than it has in years. And they hate that an army of watchmen on the wall is rising around the world, standing fearlessly upon God's word. Would you stand with us in this fight with a gift today? Please call right now and show your support. 1-800-652-1144. You can also give at our website, swrc.com. Please, friends, don't wait. We need to hear from you today. 1-800-652-1144. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. To learn more, visit swrc.com.